we're talking about weight cutting. I mean, how many other sports have weight cutting involved in it besides like horse racing and wrestling?
Not too many. Actually, if anything, a lot of sports want you to like stack on the weight, you know, like football, hockey.
Yeah.
They want you to be as big as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Like hockey, they want you to be like 6'3", like 250, 240.
Yeah.
And like football, depending on your position in football, actually. If you're a quarterback, they want you to be like a 6-foot quarterback, but they want you to be like around 190, 200, so like you're mobile and like you can get around. But if you're a lineman, they want you easily like above like 250 to 300 pounds.
Yeah.
If you're a lineman. And then wide receivers, you know, those are like the speedy guys. They keep those guys at like 180 because like they can just zoom like right down the field.
Yeah. Yeah, they have like
depending on your positioning, but yeah, hockey, they want big, huge guys. I guess you could say the same thing in basketball too. They just want guys that are like 6'5", but like some guys are like 200 even, 250.
It's like all the biggest.
If you're LeBron James, you know, they want like guys like that are like, you know, 6 foot, yay, like 250 like pounds.
Yeah. LeBron James has kind of looked the same.
And baseball, they don't give two shits. They just want to know if you can hit the ball or if you can throw it.
Yeah.
Unless you're an outfielder, that's the only other position they want you to be like athletic in. But like if you're playing first or third, it's like you're just standing there all day and you can be like fat and just slug balls.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a lot of team sports there, though. I guess it's more the when you're an individual, you're trying to get as big of advantage as you can.
I could see working into like horse racing, like for the jockey.
Yeah.
And speed skating.
Yeah. When you have to be light.
When you have to be like super light.
Yeah. Then it aids you.
But like other than that, like tennis, there's no weight cutting. You know, it's all depending on like how in shape you want to be. You could be a 200 pound like tennis player if you want to.
Yeah.
Or you could be like 100 pounds. Well, another sport too, I'd probably say you don't have to like do weight cutting. That's actually a combat sport, fencing, actually.
Oh, yeah.
That's one that like, yeah, you don't have to, there's no like weight limits, I don't think. You could be like a 200 pound guy versus like a 300, like a 100 pound guy. And I guess that one's like all just up to skill.
Well, I don't know much about fencing, but I'm sure you'd have to be pretty skilled to get in and out.
Yeah.
Knock at it.
But yeah, no, as far as I know, there's no weight classes with fencing. If anything, it's like age groups.
Okay, now you got me interested in fencing. I'm going to have to look this up now.
Look it up, eh?
Now I have to know the smaller guy always wins because he's quicker. You got me interested.
Hey, some big guys are very quick. I know some big guys that are just fast. You'd be surprised.
It's true. I've seen it too.
Yeah.
Some deceptively fast, like bigger guys. I've seen
like
it.
Fast on their feet, fast with their hands, and just even movement. And you're like, how are you? Like, dude, you're like 250 and you're moving this quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it in person. We've seen it in the UFC. We've seen it all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Some people can just be deceptively quick and still have mass on them. Still be, you know, kind of big. I don't know. Body types are kind of funny. Like everyone's given what they're given and you work with what you've got.
Exactly.
Just work with what you've got.
That's one thing like I noticed with like social media that like kind of deceives everybody, you know, like with those like goals, like posts, like body goals, like people want to like a... You're not gonna have what like that person has on that picture.
Exactly.
Because you're gonna get what you put into it, like
you're
out
not
of your body type.
What they achieve because you have different body.
Yeah,
have
a different body type. You know,
yeah.
Like just go for the best of what you can get.
Exactly. Make the best out of what you've got.
Yeah. Don't try and like you know copy that Instagram model or like that like I don't know like Mr. Universe or whatever it is.
Yeah. Maybe it's a good baseline to start with. It'll get you started, but don't go around trying to like, you know, like tad for tad. There is no blueprint for it to just copy someone.
And dudes, majority of the time to get like those bodies, you got to go on the roids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
On record, people have said there's no way you're winning these competitions without them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch the documentary Icarus?
This is brought up
everywhere. Okay, well, I'm going to be that person that brings it up on this show. Icarus is one of the craziest documentaries I've ever seen. And if you haven't watched Icarus... It's about the scandals in the Olympics with doping scandals in the Olympics with Russia being taken out of the Olympics.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's very good. So they uncover one of the guys.
I don't want to
say which testing agency it is because there's VADA, USADA. There's all different kinds. There's the World Anti-Doping Agency.
I know the United Sochi States. Olympics was the one like where they like it was the last straw.
This was the main focus of it. It was all about Sochi,
yeah.
And so what they're able to do is they drug test people and then they usually freeze samples and you have an A and B sample And this goes into there with the corruption going on with the B samples and the A samples. So a lot of the times that A sample would get tampered with and then the B sample would be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
So that B sample has been the cause of a lot of people getting messed up. So I don't know. It was just a really big eye-opening documentary. It's very rare that I watch something that just opens my eyes more than they've been open before, you know? Like The Matrix for the first time, you know?
Oh, yeah. You watch something like that.
I've never been plugged in since 1999 since, you know? But Icarus just, it made me almost believe that everybody is on something. Like, even in the minor leagues. I don't know how much drug testing is going on around here. I'm going to have to start asking people questions
Even in the college leagues, like, you know, the NCAA of, like, football, baseball, basketball. I'm sure there's tons of, like, doping going
around.
Because they don't get screened for it. Like, you know, it's only when you get to the pros, that's when, like, you know, it really becomes, like, you're under the microscope after that.
Yep. And then I was checking out some stats. USADA tells you who they're testing and how many times they're testing them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't test a lot of debut fighters, meaning when you make your debut, you're kind of fresh.
Mm-hmm. You're allowed to kind of just go in there and do your thing. It's after you're under spotlight, eh?
Once you're put under spotlight or there's some sort of suspicion.
It's like once the money, it's like once the money's being made, eh?
Yep. Then
exactly.
They have to go after you. Then they put you under the knife. So it's got me thinking that maybe some people, they'll work their way up with the stuff. And then it's either about masking it or learning how to live your life without it. Which, I don't know which is better. Like, once you're on it, do you just stay on and maintain? Is this like Limitless with Bradley Cooper where you have to take it forever now? Or is this like there is a way off it? Because the effects can last years. The effects lie dormant in you, whether or not you're still ingesting or not.
I think the best thing is just not to take it at all.
Well, my favorite person to talk about on the show is Vitor Belfort. And you got to think that I don't know what it was that had lied dormant in his body, but something was reawoken in him when he was given the testosterone exemption use, therapeutic exemption use. And everybody was on TRT, but Belfort seemed to be like on everything, seemed to be anyways.
Mm-hmm.
The huge traps, the gains, the head kick knockouts, where did those come from? In the middle of your 30s too? You just completely change your style out of nowhere and your body shape. I remember when he debuted in the UFC at 18 years old. His shoulders were probably just as big as they were at 35.
Everyone remembers that knockout, how he just like came in with that flurry of punches and just...
The one over Wanderlei Silva?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's one of the highlights that you just grow up with. Like,
yeah, because how fast he's coming in and it's like just 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2 and just landing them all.
Like that.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you remember playing the video games?
Oh, yeah.
So they use that Vitor Belfort knockout as one of their templates to like throw that into the video game. We're going to follow Vitor Belfort's knockout and you're going to be able to knock people out just like that.
Yeah.
And you kind of like see the choreograph of it. It does look like Vitor. It's pretty cool. Make the UFC games great again. Come on. Those games were a big influence in me getting into like being a bigger fan anyways.
I was going to get the latest one till like I seen all the glitches and the bugs that like happen in it. So I just decided like, I'll wait for one of my friends to buy it. And none of them bought it.
Oh, man.
the last, honestly, UFC game I played was the number two. Like
after, the ones for THQ or
the THQ, EA? The THQ ones.
Okay, so it was great.
Yeah.
THQ had a really good engine in there. Like the striking was great. You can actually think about what you're going to do.
The grappling was great. How do you use the wheel to like transition and like counteract? You know, if someone's trying to submit you, you spin your circle, like your stick, like twice as fast to like avoid like getting submitted or like escaping. And
yeah,
like there it was awesome. Like
a lot more skill and effort than the EA sport game where it's just like an arcade now. You just button mash and it looks kind of cool. It's more visually stunning than actually like
using that wheel was awesome. Like for grappling and trying to like get out of stuff. And then the striking was awesome. You know, you had to hold this trigger to go for the body, or this trigger was straight like for the head. Like if you're gonna throw the head kicks,
the engine was so great with the striking too. You can every time you block, you could cut off a strike. So that those are your fakes.
Yep.
Throw a head kick and then block. You're faking leg like Machida, and then you can open up punches. Mm-hmm. So when you're fighting the AIs, you have to mix it up. You go on the hardest setting and you try to land some shots. You're not just going to throw like naked like head kicks or low kicks. Like these are computers that know what button you're pressing, for God's sake. So you kind of got to screw them up by using feints. Mm-hmm. It's almost like sparring in real life. You're not just going to go in there and just start landing whatever you want. You're going to get pieced up if you do that, if they know what they're doing.
And what was awesome about the game mechanics is there was one punch knockouts or one hit knockouts.
Yeah, yeah. Very rare too. It's not like all the time.
No, it was like super rare. I remember it was like when the game like first, literally the first day like the game came out, like we had like a big party at like my friend's house and there was like 15 of us. We were passing the paddles around. And like one of my friends just got there and he's like, yeah, I want to try this out for the first time. I'm like, all right, let's try it. Like, let's go heavyweight. Who are you going to choose? He's like, I'm going to choose Andre Arlovsky. I'm like, all right, I'm going to choose Krokop. So like,
you ripped head kicks all night.
No, this is the best thing. He charged in spinning back fist, boom, instant knockout. Like it's his first time playing the game ever. And I'm like, I'll give you another chance, man. Because literally, he just walked in the house, got the paddle, sat down, and, like, charged at me. And, like, everyone's like, oh, he's charging. And, like, I just, like, I was going to throw, like, a hook. But for some reason, Krokop went for the spinning back fist. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm doing spinning back fist. And, like, just landed it flush, knocked out. And, like, you even see the achievement, like bing, like, one like at
flash KO
within like 5 seconds of the first round. And I was like, no way, this is awesome.
Sick. You broke a game record and a UFC record. I think the fastest knockout in reality, not video games though, is Dwayne Bang Ludwig in the UFC.
Yeah,
he got it under 6 seconds. Pretty crazy. I know in some minor leagues you have Conor McGregor has got like a 4 second knockout.
Well, that's the minors, but he's got the 12 one on Aldo.
Yeah. 12, 13 seconds, something like
12
that.
12 seconds, yeah.
So he's got the record for the title fight now.
Yep.
Before him was Frank Shamrock. He scored like a really quick armbar back in the day.
I never believed when that happened. I remember I was DJing a Christmas party, actually.
Yeah?
And like I even said it. I'm like, yo, during this fight, fuck y'all. No requests.
I'm doing my own thing.
Like just for this fight, like I put it on auto and like I even left my booth and I went to go stand with everybody else. I'm like, I'm not missing this. There's no way in hell I'm missing this. And some woman I remember was like next to me and like, what's this you're watching? Like, is this even important? I'm like, this is the most single important UFC of this decade.
Yeah.
Like you don't even know. And like literally the fight starts. I'm like, oh, look, it's starting right now. And I'm like, no way.
Yeah. You didn't even get enough time to absorb everything. It was just feel each other out. Knockout. It's over. It's over.
Well, I thought at first Conor was getting knocked out because like you seen Aldo throw and he connected.
The
but
left
like,
hook, yeah. But the way he just closed his eyes, bit down on his mouthpiece.
And it's the way he fell forward. That's where I was like, really? I'm like, Conor got him?
Yeah.
And I was like, no way.
Hammer fist to solidify
it. And I was standing next to my friend. I'm like, yo, I thought Conor was like, what do you mean? I'm like, look, watch the replay. And you see the replay. Conor gets hit too from Aldo. But like, it's just Conor's hit like was the perfect.
The counter. That was having him coming at you. It created a collision. And these knockouts only happen with collisions. Well, from collisions. It was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
He stepped into it. Conor threw it. And then he just.
Look at the way Conor pivots his foot too. His rear foot. That's how you throw it straight. You dig into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I like how my coach says, dig a hole into the ground. You know, that's the best way to put it. Dig a hole into the ground.
Your right foot. If you're going to throw that straight right, just really plant off it and like just drive off
dig
it.
Dig in. Or if you're southpaw, that left foot. As long as it's your rear foot and it's planted, dig that thing in, you know.
You're going to get so much power.
And that's what he did. That's what he did.
You'll hear it when you hear a pat, when you hit a patter bag. You'll definitely hear the pat.
Yeah. You'll have the whole class looking at you in the difference. Go ahead and throw arm strikes and then throw one with your foot dug in the ground. Everyone's going to hear it. But yeah, weight cutting, dude. Let's get that thing out of here. Let's just get weight cutting out of here.
Yeah.
I want to see people fighting how they're supposed to fight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They say that they tried to make this as realistic as they could back in the day. I know they had to make it more of a sport due to congressmen, senates, laws, you know, lawmakers and stuff like that.
Of course, like sports.
They wanted to legitimize it, but.
Like sports commissions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you gotta please like a certain amount of people in order to, like, look, there's a reason why amateur MMA and Muay Thai is illegal in Montreal.
Yeah.
Well, Quebec, actually, I should say.
Yeah. Well, because it's not on the Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
So are they still legitimate if you're not on the Olympic Committee? What makes a sport legitimate? Now we have to get into that.
Yeah.
So the weight cutting is just kind of weird. If you want to like legitimize the sport, I don't know if weight cutting has a place for it, honestly. Especially when you have brain damage on the line, when you have all kind of injuries that could happen due to dehydration.
Just even body malnourishment, like, you know, it's just not good for your body. Like,
exactly.
Your muscles, your breathing, just everything.
Exactly. There's some people that come out saying, like,
even mentally, it's like so mentally draining. Like, you know, you just like the thought on your mind that I have to put myself through this.
Do you ever hear of like wrestlers being like, they come out of their adult life saying like, maybe I could have been as big as my siblings or something? Like Matt Hughes, I remember him saying this, like he has taller brothers or something. And he said that maybe the wrestling had stunted his growth or something like that.
Possibly because, like, you know,
your body's growing and you're in high school and you're depleting yourself of its natural growth. And like you said, this malnourishment.
As a teenager, like, that's one thing I noticed, like, about myself and, like, teenagers growing up is, like, they eat. Teenagers, like, eat. And that
constantly.
And
they have faster metabolism.
And that factors into the growth, you know, the growth spurts. That happens because of all, like, that stuff they're eating.
Well, you're growing through that period of time. And you need the food to grow from it, and you're depleting yourself from it.
Look who else is like a super successful wrestler, but he's like small. Henry Cejudo.
Yeah.
He's tiny.
Exactly. But he started such an early age. Maybe that could be a reason why his growth could have been stunted or something. I'm not sure. Everyone's given their own kind of cards that they're dealt. Maybe he was just meant to be
I'd even say Sage Northcutt, too. He looks like a really small dude.
Sort of. Except he's jacked.
He's jacked, but he's short.
Yeah, you know that's true. Mean?
Yeah.
Hey, man, he's going to fight in Asia.
Is he?
Yeah, he's going to fight in one now.
Ooh.
So I don't know how the drug testing is. We praise Asia for their weight cutting stance.
Yep.
But overseas.
What's like drug testing? Yeah, and drug use.
I don't know what it's like overseas.
Did it have UFC rules or did it have Bellator rules?
The unified rules are kind of like international. So it's up to you to follow the unified rules. It's up to your promotion. Like when the UFC doesn't have... when they don't have an athletic commission that governs their fights, they will go ahead and say, we're gonna govern the fight ourselves, but we're going to follow the unified rules. And the unified rules, those are the ones with like the no hand on the ground for the knees to the head.
Yep.
So if you have an organization that has soccer kicks, right away you got to think they're not following the unified rules. They're just using, their own Japanese rules. There are no rules. You know, we're in no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
These fights are going to take place in international waters starting next year. I don't know if that's true or not. Okay, I'm not going to spread false news. It's not true.
That'd be pretty interesting, you know, having like MMA promotions on cruises or like private islands.
Maybe it happens. Maybe we just don't know about it.
Well, kumites, man. That's what that was back in the day.
No comment. Dude, what did I have this written down for? Oh, okay. I wanted to get into something. I've seen online that people were talking about this year being the year of the upsets, the year of the underdog.
It kind of is, to be honest.
I think 2012 was that year.
It was. It was
2013. It was 2013 when Anderson Silva lost to Chris Weidman twice. Ronda Rousey. No. That was the same year.
I think it was 2014 because that's the year. Like it was like all of Dana's golden like geese were like losing. Like Connor lost to Nate Diaz. Like Rousey lost to Holm.
You may be
Northcutt lost. Like not his debut, but like
to Brian Barberena.
Yeah.
Yeah, that weird arm triangle he had. I think it was from full guard. A full guard arm triangle, like top.
I remember somebody like making a meme out of it, and like it was like hilarious. Like it was like a picture of like you seen like a picture of like them three, and like Dana was like looking at it, and all of a sudden like you see like his sad face, and it's like they're fading away from the picture.
Dana's moneymakers.
Yeah, his money.
He could never have it his way. Like Darren Till. Do you see the memes when he was like knocked out? Like Dana's like holding him like a baby, and he's like, "It's okay, it's okay. We're still gonna make money." Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah,
he had such.
But that fight though, Masvidal coming up on top, that was an upset. Like of course, this past weekend, Pettis with Thompson.
Well, your Usman. Boy here wrote down some notes.
Yeah,
Usman I've got some Lee. Upsets here. I wrote for the main events, main event underdogs are actually 5-5 this year, but that's not for just main events. I included Usman in there, who was a co-main event, but he was the only other title fight on the card. I figured that counts as a main event, right?
There was another fight. I can't remember who it was, but I remember it was on the same card as Khabib and Conor.
Same card as Khabib and Conor.
And it was a heavyweight bout.
Derek Lewis against Alexander Volk. I can't say his last name.
Was it Volkov? I think it was.
Volkov, yeah.
I think that's what it was.
I was going to call him Volkanovski. That's the featherweight dude.
Yeah, he was like losing all fight and then like literally like pulled it out of his ass like in the last.
Okay,
like,
that was that's
so
a,
it was there.
That's the Black Beast. Because that was the fight where he's like, my balls was on fire.
My balls was hot.
And Joe Rogan understood. Yeah, man. But I wanted to include this year, since this is a bi-weekly show and we have about half of the amount of episodes recorded as there were actual fights. So during our little break when this is being uploaded, a fight usually happens. So there's twice as many main events as there's been episodes so far. And since that's happened, actually, it's pretty even, 5-5. So it's kind of where it should be. This isn't year of the underdog. It's not year of the upsets. It's not year of like absolute dismantling favorites.
Yeah, because on your notes, you're right. Like Usman was like, it was a co-main event. It wasn't like the main event.
Yeah, so if we actually take Usman out, then the favorites are actually up ahead. It's now 4-5 for the underdogs. Mm-hmm. The favorites are up by one. So, you know.
But still though, that's like a high percentage though of like underdogs like winning usually.
Yeah.
Like a year like last year or the year before, like it didn't matter if you were the underdog, you were losing because like champions were so dominant. And but now like the games have kind of been equalized, I'd have to say. You know, guys got a little older. These younger guys got a little better. And the guys in their middle are like reaching, like you said, they're reaching their prime now. Like guys like Pettis and like Khabib and even John Jones right now, I'd say he's entering his prime.
Well, he's the best example of it. Mm-hmm. He's dismantling his opposition. Yep. Ever since DC Jones 2, you got to say he's been entering his prime. And now he's reaping the benefits of being in his prime.
Yeah, so now it's like everything's really spreading out now and like becoming, I guess, balanced and it's actually really balanced right now, like all the weight divisions.
Like
there's
all
no
things should be.
There's no real like years back, you remember Anderson Silva was undeniably like you couldn't touch him. Like you knew he'd F anybody up that like came at him.
Yeah, I'm triggered just hearing that because Silva was like the best example of like what a champion should be in there. Besides GSP.
There's nobody like that right now in the UFC and it's great, you know, like I there's no tyrant.
Like Silva was so dominant back then that even when he fights now, like when he fought Israel Adesanya, there was still like this mystique about him. Like, can Izzy hang with him? Is Anderson Silva still there? And if he is there, can Izzy hang with him? And he did.
Yep.
But Izzy was a favorite in that fight, so it's not like the underdog won that one. He was actually the favorite for that.
But the underdog did show that he still has it.
So I guess it's not the year of the underdog, but we've experienced some big upsets though, like Henry Cejudo you mentioned earlier, knocking out TJ Dillashaw.
But Francis Ngannou KOing Cain Velasquez in like 20 seconds.
Yeah, another underdog winning. Like if Cain maybe took a different fight before that, you know, kind of got the ring rust shaken off.
I still say the craziest was this past weekend. Like still unbelievable. Like
which is what got me thinking about the whole moving up, the weight cutting, and about the underdogs. There was so much that the storyline.
Even the week before too, Masvidal versus like Till. Like
that ties into this one too.
Yeah, it's like those back to back weeks are just like it's like mind boggling.
Yeah. For real. It really is. Because
it's like the
you're
favorite.
You're so used to thinking that the bigger guy's gonna win. No. I think skill Once attributes are kind of matched, then it's skill that takes over. But once skill is matched, then the attributes take over. This, I felt like skill wasn't matched due to Anthony Pettis having a couple of tricks up his sleeve.
Yep.
I think the attributes were not able to take over due to skill difference. Maybe Wonder Boy is just as skilled as Pettis, and he has his number in a different, you know, like a parallel universe or something like that.
Maybe even just a different situation, you know, like...
Like, learning from this now, like, you think lightning will strike twice?
Probably not.
Probably, because you did say that he was picking him apart. I'm not going to say he was picking him apart, Pettis, but he was landing pretty high volume punches coming in and out. So there was some success, and Pettis, I think he broke his nose or something. He said, my nose is pretty busted up in one of the interviews.
His nose, and he's landing a lot of those, I wonder how his midsection felt the next day, because he was landing a lot of those side kicks.
Yeah. Are you able to bring up any clips or anything like that?
Not right now.
Not at the moment? Yeah. Okay. Well, there was something that I've watched over the weekend. It was Stephen Wonderboy Thompson was sitting in the hospital after he got knocked out by Pettis.
Yeah.
He did a Facebook Live video, and I ended up finding it on the internet. And during this live video, he's in the hospital room with his parents. He's filming himself, and he goes on while he's thinking, and he's all drugged out of his mind, you know, due to being in the hospital, whatever it is. No, I can't say he's drugged out of his mind, but you know, you're in the hospital, you're not quite all there. The dude was just knocked out, and he's getting pretty existential about his fighting career. Where do I stand in this? He said he fought nearly 80 times, too. Look at his record. He's had a crazy kickboxing career. I think it's like 50-something fights. I don't know how many MMA fights he's had, but I think he was like 57-0 in kickboxing. Like, he was undefeated before turning professional MMA, and he was never finished. And now he's starting to contemplate whether or not he should move up to 185. He's starting to feel that maybe as he's getting older, his metabolism is slowing down, and his body's not able to maintain fighting at this weight. But that could just be one guy. I mean, not everybody at 185 has to move up. There's still Jacare, there's still Yoel Romero, there's still a whole bunch of Chris Weidman, there's still a whole bunch of other people that can still contend for the belt that don't necessarily have to move up. Just because Thiago Santos moved up and Anthony Smith, they moved up, doesn't mean the whole division does. It would just kind of help with the weight cutting argument, but it doesn't mean everybody has to move up now. Some people make the exception, though. Like I was saying earlier, though, too, some people move up, they'll go on like a 3-fight win streak and then lose to the best of the best. And I think maybe Thiago Silva can fall victim to that next. He fits all the criteria for it. He was a fighter that fought at a smaller division, moved up, 3-fight win streak right now. So his next fight has to be something big. You go on a 3-fight win streak in any division, you're going to give something good, especially with some name value behind it. So I'm starting to think maybe Thiago Santos, I'm going to keep my eye on him because I want to see if these stats come true or not. Like, Donald Cerrone went on a 3-fight win streak. So was RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos, before they ran into a little bit of trouble. So it's all nice. It's all dandy and stuff to move up until you run into a brick wall.
Or the person who's meant to be in that division.
Meant to be, exactly. There's people that know how to cut the weight properly. You said maybe ideally 10 pounds would be ideal.
Yeah.
I got to agree with you. Because we're seeing these guys find success to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that certain degree, you know, we draw the line when it's a guy at the top of the division that's got the weight cut down, that seems to be the right fit for it with the right amount of attributes too. So my whole argument about attributes being castled out and then skills taken over.
Yeah, if all weight classes went up like 10 pounds, I think that would be like awesome.
Like 1FC style.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think UFC will do it just because one did it and they don't want to be like
copycats
or the second one to do it. So give them a little bit, maybe buy out 1FC and then do it. Say, well, we bought them out and their guys are used to it. I think they've tried going to Singapore and they tried signing everybody from one. They were able to pick up a couple of people except for Shinya Aoki. I've wanted to see Shinya Aoki fight. Well, he has fought some of the best, but I want to see him in the UFC fighting the best on a regular basis. Shinya Aoki is just one of those guys that I've been watching forever, man. I mean, how many Google plotters have you seen in MMA in general besides Nick Diaz back in the day?
Nick Diaz is a Google plotter. That's the only one I've actually seen.
Yeah, against Takanori Gomi?
Yep.
Well, Shinya Aoki, I think, has two of them.
Yeah.
He's got all kinds of stuff. He's got Omoplata. He's got Gogoplata. He's got, I think he has a twister in one of his most recent fights, too. Like, in MMA, too. He's got a whole catalog. I'm not going to say he's got a variety. He's got a whole Sears catalog of submissions, you know?
That's thick.
Like, what do you want for Christmas? You want a twister? He's got that, you know?
If anyone's ever seen a Sears catalog, them things stick.
Yeah.
You used to get hit in the back of the head with those things if I ever misbehaved.
Yeah. Yeah. Your parents didn't want to leave bruises, so they hit you with the Sears catalog, you know?
Bow! What the hell was that? Sears catalog.
Well, I'm calling the cops. There's no bruises.
Inch thick book. Of just pages of just stuff.
And just think of getting rocked too. All right, man. I think we discussed all we can. Yeah. I just want to say, like always, this is so fun to do, but you know, this is also a job. The Combat Spotlight is sponsored by Havana Cigar Lounge, your premier spot for a great, relaxing, and friendly atmosphere and a wide selection of cigars and great staff. They also show UFC events and hockey games on their multiple big screen TVs. Havana Cigar Lounge, located on Highway 138 in Ganawage. So, it was another great show. Any final words, Luke?
I'm actually hoping I can get work off so I can go to Fight Quest this weekend.
Yeah, do it, man. Such a good card. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to recap that the next episode, but I'll just give a quick shout out to the people that are fighting on the card. Cobell 2.0, I wish you all the best of luck. You've looked amazing lately. You've been very dedicated. And of course, Andrew Ansonin. My God, that's just one of the best talents in a while that has come out of Gunawage.
That's my homie.
Yeah, it's so crazy, that guy. FightQuest. I hope I see you there, Luke. My name is David Bova. I'm your host, and I'm always with Luke Daibo, my co-host. Yeah. Once again, thanks for tuning in. We're signing off. Peace.